cierra. Jerry Bader Show 1052. So you've heard how rotten the winter is and how it impacted air travel a lot because you had blizzard after blizzard. Do you know there were 76,000 flights canceled this year? Not all due to weather, but that is twice as many as the past 2 years combined. And then the Wall Street Journal on Thursday had a breakout of worst days to fly, February 13th, January 6th, hardest hit airports, Cleveland, LaGuardia, O'Hare, Newark, Philadelphia. No surprise there. Major airports in the snow belt. You know what they're talking about? And I don't know how comfortable I'd feel with this or not. Research is underway around the world to find economical ways to heat airport surfaces or develop pavement resistant to freezing. You know why they don't use salt, right? Raises hell on aluminum. That is not a good idea. So in a driving blizzard where you normally would be grounded, say it's snowing an inch an hour, would you feel comfortable in taking off? Even if you knew that it was a nice dry run. See, I agree, Jason, I wouldn't either, but it's probably going to come. You just wouldn't go. So if there's a blizzard out there, they say, look, Mr. Show Producer, you're fine. It's just, look, it's nice and dry. No, huh? You would drive. I know someone who did that recently. I don't know, but they have to do something. They have to do something. I don't know. What if you see it working for 2 years? Oh, I think you would adjust. I think I would. All right. The Wausau Daily Herald's website has become this place where those who believe in global warming, it's just they own it. And the paper gives them nice, pretty graphics with their letters. This one, and it's I think they're all from the same group, the Citizens Climate Lobby. This is Mark Reynolds. This could be the dumbest analogy you will ever hear, ever. It deals with global warming. Back when Fred Flintstone was puffing away on Winston cigarettes in the 1960s, it was hard to imagine the day would ever come when we would see the end of smoking in the U.S. But much to the relief of our overburdened healthcare system, some officials now dare to predict that the adult smoking rate will drop 5% or lower by mid-century. So how is America breaking its addiction to tobacco? And what lessons can we apply to a similarly dangerous addiction, the burning of fossil fuels? This is the dumbest. For starters, the days when ashtrays were a fixture on nearly every office desk are long gone, thanks to restrictions on smoking in the workplace, restaurants, airlines, and others confined spaces where humans must and other spaces where they must share the air. Being a smoker today is, to say the least, inconvenient, as workers in cities such as Minneapolis sometimes must brave 10 below wind chill to satisfy their nicotine fix. While restrictions are making smokers outcasts, there's an even more powerful incentive to quit or never take up the nasty habit. Economics. The taxes we place on tobacco, a pack of Marlboros, will set you back $6 in some places, are a prime example of an economic tool called Pigouvian taxation, named after an early 20th century economist named Arthur Pigou. It's probably Pigouvian or Pigouvian, I don't know. Many conservative economists subscribe to this school of thought, which maintains that the free market normally produces things that are good for society. Pigou argued, however, that there are times when the market fails. Those times occur when something imposes a cost to society that is not reflected in its price. When that happens, it is necessary to correct the market failure with a tax. Cigarette smoking imposes tremendous costs to our society, and then he goes through those. By imposing a heavy tax on cigarettes, some of those costs are now reflected in the price of Americans, what they pay for tobacco. The steep price is discouraging people from buying cigarettes. In a similar way, conservative economists believe such a tax should be applied to fix the market failure surrounding fossil fuels. Not real conservatives. These fuels are relatively cheap because, like tobacco years ago, their costs to society are not accounted for in their price. Those costs include treating respiratory and other health problems associated with air pollution. They include costs associated with climate change. And so we should tax fuel. Oh, by the way, this guy's giving up the secret. Liberals have believed this forever. What's the difference, you idiot? Our society doesn't run on tobacco. It runs on oil. If you raise the price of oil so people won't use it, you raise the price of everything. And further, you didn't need a replacement for tobacco, except for the addicts who had to come up with something. And they have. They've come up with the e-cigarette. You don't have a viable alternative to fossil fuel. There isn't one. Not yet. So this guy is so stupid, he doesn't even realize what he's given up here. Liberals typically deny this. Well, we want to make fossil fuels so expensive that you can't use them. He came out and said it. When they tried to deny that. This guy would love to see gas cost $20 a gallon. Never mind that it would bring modern society to a standstill because there is no viable alternative to fossil fuels to heat our, except nuclear, and they won't let us do that. Nuclear energy is a viable alternative. But they don't want that either. So take that off the table. How are you going to fly planes, power energy plants, drive cars, heat buildings, and on and on and on? That's like saying we have an addiction to oxygen or water. That's exactly what, and we need to wean ourselves up. You idiots. 10:58, 8 minutes to Rush. Have a lovely one, won't you?
Jerry Bader, jerrybadershow.com.